Hey folks, thanks for being a member of the Cafe Insider community. In addition to the Cafe Insider podcast and my weekly note, you also get bonus material from my interviews on Stay Tuned with Preet. This is exclusively for you. Hope you enjoy it. Can I ask you about something that you did earlier in your career?
Sure.
You were on the House Ethics Committee and dealt with some issues relating to how much lobbyists could spend on lunch and those kinds of perks that staffers got.
Yes.
And I was a Senate staffer for 4.5 years over for the Judiciary Committee with Senator Schumer. And I think there were even more stringent limitations in place by the time I got there between 2005 and 2009. Did those really make a difference? The idea that you can't be taken for a $40 lunch in how policies get adopted and how laws get passed? Or is it more a public trust issue and an appearance issue?
Well, I think it's more of an access issue. It's, you know, it raises a similar issue that we have in our campaign finance system. When politicians are spending hours every day on the phone with wealthy people, because that's who they're doing their fundraising from, that's who they're hearing from. It's a form of soft corruption. Even with the best of intentions, if you're spending hours and hours a day listening to people who have a certain set of concerns that maybe don't represent the concerns of most of the population that you're representing, those are just going to stick in your head anyway, because that's what you're hearing a lot of. When lobbyists take staffers out to lunch, you know, no, I don't think people can be bought for a $40 lunch, but I do think that, you know, staffers, as you know, some of them don't make that much money. They appreciate being taken out to lunch, and they're more likely to spend an hour listening to somebody if lunch comes along with it.
And there's a stake involved, yes.
Yeah, I think that's the bigger problem, is whose voice gets heard? Who's in the room where it happens, right? Who gets to—
Oh, there you go with the Hamilton.
Yep, sorry.
Who do you think you are, Justice Kagan?
No, I don't. I'm not that bold. But I do think that this question of access and whose voice gets heard is one that permeates a lot of the rationale for both our ethics rules and our campaign finance rules. You know, if money is speech and people with more money get more speech, then who speaks for the people who don't have money? Who speaks for single mothers who are trying to figure out childcare? Who speaks for veterans who come home and from faraway places and find they're not getting good medical care? Who speaks for people who are evicted because they've lost their jobs during COVID-19 and now the protections against evictions are going to be running out? I worry about those people. There are more of them than there are of the very, very rich. And yet their voices do not have the same opportunities to be heard, and their concerns do not have the same opportunities to be addressed. And, you know, I think it's a basic issue of who is represented in our government and in our democracy. I worry about that stuff a lot.
Is there another country whose campaign finance laws are a good model? Is anyone doing this in the way that makes the most sense from perspective of inclusion and equality and fairness?
Well, there are a lot of other countries that have public funding, and they rely primarily on public funding of their political parties. A lot of them are party-based rather than candidate-based. But they also have limits. You know, there are, when I talk to people in the UK, for example, you know, they have limits on how long the campaign season is. And they love that. The people that I talk to in the UK, they wouldn't trade their system for ours in a million years. I thought, you guys are just subjected to this all the time. Who wants that?
Our presidential campaigns and congressional campaigns last longer than the term.
Sometimes.
Right?
Yeah, they can.
Sometimes they do. So do you think there's any appetite for moving towards a system of public funding here, federally at least?
Well, I think there is, you know, there are proposals in Congress as
but they never go anywhere.
Well, I mean, I believe some of them have been adopted in one house of Congress.
Right.
Just that not pes- on the
there's
other
that pesky other house.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of things that get passed in the House and then they don't go anywhere in the Senate. That seems to be the way a lot of things are happening these days. Or rather not happening.
There's experimentation on the local level. There's some things that are happening locally.
Yeah, there's some interesting things going on. Well, as you know, New York City has a very robust public funding with, I think they're up to what, a 9-to-1 match on small dollar?
I think it was six. I think it's 6-to-1.
It started at 6-to-1, but I think they upped
it
recently.
Oh, okay.
So it might be up to 8 or 9 by now. There's the Democracy Vouchers Program in Seattle, which is really interesting, where for municipal elections, everyone in the city gets 4 $25 vouchers to give out to the candidates of their choice. And it creates new incentives. Whereas before, candidates would only have incentives to go where they thought they could find either voters or money. And in some communities, you don't find a lot of either. Now they have the incentives to go into every community, in every neighborhood, because everyone has something of value that's worth their trying to argue with those folks and advocate for why they would be the best person to get the benefit of those democracy vouchers. So, you know, it's an interesting idea.
Something else in Seattle, since you mentioned it, the mayor of Seattle used to be the U.S. attorney there. She's a friend of mine. And she was out in New York a few months into her term. And I ask the question that I ask of politicians sometimes, you know, how much of your time do you have to be distracted from governing to raise money? And she said, zero. I said, why is that? And I may not have the exact details correct, but she said that in Seattle, candidates are not allowed to engage in fundraising more than 2 years before the election, which is great for the person who's in office, who doesn't have to be distracted like most politicians are, getting on the phone, raising money for a period of time. So there are lots of things happening on the local level that maybe the Fed should think about.
I agree. And some of those have been incorporated as pilot program proposals in some of the legislation that has at least passed on the House side.
Last question, personal question. You were married to Bill Dauster, who was a Senate staffer, is still?
No, he's retired from the Senate.
Who I overlapped with. And obviously, he was a very, very, very well respected. He was one of the people who I was told, if you ever have any question about anything that is in his area of expertise, you go to him. He was very respected person in the Senate. You obviously have been working in a public capacity for a period of time. So you're kind of like a quintessential DC government power couple, if I can use that term. And my question is, before COVID, when people were actually going out and seeing each other and going to functions, what is the social scene like for people who are in government on a particular, been appointed by a particular administration? Is everyone nice and pleasant at the functions and the parties, or are people polarized even socially like they are within places like the FEC? That may be a peculiar question, but I just wonder about that.
Well, see, I've chosen very odd places to work. When you work at the Ethics Committee or the Campaign Finance Regulatory Body, you don't get invited to all those parties.
You're not going to the Christmas parties.
No, right. No, we don't. We live a quiet life.
So much better, because some of those things are fairly insufferable.
I remember once when I was on vacation and I was biking with my daughters past an estate, and we saw a lot of cars that were parked, and I stopped somebody who was there, and I said, "Well, what's this all about?" And they said, "Oh, there's a big fundraiser here," and I won't mention the candidate's name. And I thought, this would be so funny if I just, you know, rode my bike in there and busted in there and said, "Hey, I'm from the FEC. I want to make sure you guys are doing everything right." Would have been great on my bicycle and my bathing suit with my bike helmet. I decided not to do that.
Right. And certainly you would have to pay for yourself.
Yes, indeed. And my daughters.
Thank you again for becoming a member of Cafe Insider. Listen to the Cafe Insider podcast every Tuesday with Ann Milgram and me, and stay tuned every Thursday.